You know, our gradual hymn today, or gospel hymn, God is Love. And it's one of my favorite hymns. And one of my favorite verses in it is actually the second. And just the first phrase, God is love, and love enfolds us. This reminder in music of what God is all about. And a reminder of our epistle today from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So those of us who would follow Christ, it's all about love. John even goes so far as to later on in his letter inform us that if we say we love God and we do not love our neighbor, that we are living a lie. That we are, as followers of Christ, if we truly abide in Christ, we will live as he does and love those around us. And of course, this isn't always easy, and it's one of those things we always have to work at. You know, Dorothy Day always spoke about, you know, the person I love the least, you know, whoever I love the least, that's how much I love God. The whole idea that I can only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. Now, in our first reading from the book of Acts, we have this wonderful scene where Philip is told to basically get up. You know, the voice of God or the angel of God, you know, some voice tells it, Philip, get moving. You need to be at this one spot at this particular time. And he gets there. And we are told that there is an Ethiopian eunuch, a person of apparently some authority and means, because he works for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. But this man has three things against him that would really get in the way of, I think, many people from Philip's community. You know, at this time, the church is still pretty much Jewish. You know, it is kind of saw more almost like a sect of Judaism. Most of the members are Jewish. All the leaders are Jewish. And even when they're talking about the Greeks part of the church, those are also Jews. They just actually live somewhere else where they speak Greek. But then you have this individual show up. And he has three things against him. First of all, he's a foreigner. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Second, he's a Gentile, so he does not share the same belief. And third, he's a eunuch. Now, I'm hoping for the sake of this, you know, sermon, you all know what a eunuch is. But because beyond his own control, he was surgically altered, probably as a young baby, you know, and this was not unusual in those days, especially in the courts of women, to have had a eunuch or have even a group of eunuchs who are kind of running the show, being their servants. But, you know, in the law, the Torah, it speaks about those who are eunuchs are basically separated from the people. So you have basically three strikes against him: a foreigner, a non-Jew, and a person who, beyond his own control, has been physically altered and cannot be a part of the people. Yet he is reading, you know, it's this unusual thing that, you know, he's sitting there and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, and you're, and Philip is just looking at this and thinking about, you know, part of it makes you wonder, how did he get close enough to see which book he was reading? But he, you know, but it's a wonderful thing of asking him, you know, more or less, you know, do you understand what you're reading? You know, why this Ethiopian eunuch is reading, you know, one of the great prophets of Judaism, I don't know. Maybe it was just curiosity. Maybe he was just a person of faith. But as we tell Philip that, no, and I need, because I don't have anybody to guide me. And you have him telling this wonderful passage about the Lamb and wondering who this is about. And it's like Philip goes, I got this one. And he goes, and he explains the story about Christ, about this Messiah who comes as the lowest of men. And is killed, yet resurrected, in order that all of us can know and abide in God. And of course, you have this wonderful baptism scene, and then suddenly Philip is just boom, flashed somewhere else, and we hear the eunuch goes on with great joy. And you think about this great love that takes a person who is separated from society in so many ways and says, but you're part of us. You too are part of the church. You look different. You speak a different dialect. You're from a different place. Your background is so much different than mine. Yet we are siblings through Christ. And it's such a wonderful gift that we are given, that we are connected to one another through love. Now, we're living in a time where it gets harder and harder to separate ourselves from the world around us. You know, I think, you know, part of the move after World War II to the suburban areas was kind of this idea of wanting to kind of separate ourselves, have our own little, you know, fiefdoms by ourselves. But as we learn, there's no way to kind of get away from the world today. We hear about things all the time, and things have been coming into our own neighborhoods that we never would have expected. You know, it was, you know, years ago, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was easy to ignore, you know, the epidemic, especially, you know, the various drug epidemics, especially considering, you know, when we heard about, say, crack in the cities, it's like, oh, well, that's an urban problem. But now we have, you know, of course, now we have opiates out here. And we realize that, oh, no, no, it's not just their problem. It's our problem. It's so hard to separate ourselves from news. You know, we were talking about a friend of mine, a fellow clergy who lives in Florida, about hearing something on the news and wondering how she didn't have more information on that. And pointing out to her, 15 years ago, you would have had no information about it because it probably wasn't local enough for you. Or if it was, it would have been a blurb in the back of the paper. But now things are always there in our face. And sometimes there's this desire to kind of separate ourselves away from that. And I'm sure that there are many times that the apostles, the disciples, the early Christians, I mean, we know from our history that there are times where they've tried to separate themselves. And we still have communities who try to go off in the middle of nowhere. But the thing is, if we are truly in Christ, it's impossible to ignore our neighbor. Whatever is ailing my neighbor is ailing me. Whatever tragedies my neighbor is going through, so am I. In the church, there is no us and them. It's only the ecclesia, the gathering, the one. And though we all come from different places, we might have different denominations and ways that we celebrate Christ, we are all connected through love. And anyone, as I say, who loves God but does not love their neighbor is lying to themselves. Again, it's not something that any of us is going to be perfect at. We all come to this thing with our own prejudice and our own bias. And for most of us, if we are aware, there's always some kind of struggle. You know, I'm always thinking about those things that years ago would have been just totally acceptable, unacceptable, that are just now part of life. Not because we've chosen to ignore them or to give in to things, but that we have taken more time to understand one another. And I think especially at a time like now where there is just so many groups who are afraid, who are trying to kind of separate themselves or try to keep everybody else separate, it's more important than ever for us to live into our baptismal covenant, to live into our faith, to share that love, even in the smallest way. Our hymns, you know, one of the things I love about the Episcopal Church, you know, I may not like all the hymns. You know, I don't think, but the one thing I do appreciate about them is the strong theology behind them. Now, there are places where they have really great, you know, praise bands, and there's this music that really gets people going, wave the hands and all that. And I have no problem with waving hands in church. I know sometimes I think Episcopalians need to do a little bit more of it. But when you actually get past all the emotion, the songs are empty. They're just about generating a feeling. But when we have a wonderful hymn, you know, such as the one Tom chose for today, about reminding us that God is love. And that's one of the things we really just have to remember, to keep in mind at all times. And for some of us, it's easier to remember a hymn than it is a reading, especially when it has a nice catchy tune like this one. So I hope whatever it takes you, whether it's the readings today, whether it's the hymns that Tom chose, that you'll take the love that God has given us so freely and to share it, because there's no way you can ever waste love. The great thing about love, the more you give, the more you got.